You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
If you claim that victory this morning, say amen. 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 Now, I understand that we have several special guests, and we are so thankful that you came to be with us this morning. But I was under the impression that Pastor Mark is here somewhere. Pastor Mark? Oh, there he is. And the Clark family? Yeah. All right. So if you want to get his autograph, I'm sure you won't mind signing. So make sure you greet them in the Lord. Well, also, we are very fortunate this morning. One of our favorite guest preachers is here this morning. Nigel Legend Anderson came all the way from Norfolk, Virginia to be with us this morning. And Nigel is he's an author, a musician, a speaker, and he is one of our favorites. He also is the co-founder of Safe House Project, the safehouseproject.org. You can go there if you want to see what they do. They set out to abolish child trafficking. So it's a great project there. Also, amen. His wife of 17 years, Tia, is out in the lobby. She's running the merchandise table out there, so make sure you greet her. She has put up with him for 17 years. I mean, she has been blessed to be married to him for 17 years. And without further ado, oh, let me tell you his biggest claim to fame. He introduced us to Shelby. Yeah, all right, brother.
Appreciate you, baby. Man, y'all make some noise for Dan, the whole pastoral staff. Y'all are blessed, man. Y'all are blessed. It's getting to the point I show up and I'm starting to recognize faces and stuff. I love coming here, man. Make some noise for yourselves one time, Point Harbor. Make some noise. Thanks for having me, man. I've been looking forward to this for a couple weeks now, and I'm just excited to be here with you, man. Thank you so much for letting me be a part. If we haven't met, I go by Legend. It's just my name, Nigel, spelled backwards, and just as God turned my life around. That's the whole point of that. So, hey, there you go. And I'm a full-time rap artist, speaker, been doing that for about 10 years. Left my job as a youth minister 10 years ago to do this. And so my phone never has to ring. So I'm always privileged to be on anybody's stage to talk about Jesus and have a good time. So I've got a new song out. It's called Higher. If you want to get it, it's on wherever you get your music from. I love it. It's got cinematics and stuff like that. I love strings. Anybody love strings in here? Like, yes, strings. So please grab it. There's a QR code here if you want to do that. I've also got a podcast. All the things are here called The Legend Podcast. Where we're talking about your story matters. I found out a lot of people like myself struggle sometimes to believe that they're valuable, that they matter, what they've been through, what they've done, that God would still love and use them. And we're using this season to just tell stories and remind people of that. So, and there's a bunch of stuff there. So I'm getting the promo out the way because I suck at it and I don't like doing it. So I'm getting it out the way. But I'd love to stay connected with you. If you have a story or some impact from anything like a song or a sermon that impacted you, please tell me. I'd love to hear what God is doing in your life. So may I pray? Yes, you have to ask. You can't say no in church, but I like, it's always fun to ask, like act like you have an option, but like I'm, let me pray with you. Father, I thank you so much for this moment. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, wonderful Savior, mighty Counselor, a good Shepherd, great Physician. I thank you for all the things that you are. And thank you, God, for making us. Thank you for the breath we have in this moment that is borrowed from you. Let us never forget our dependency, and let that dependency not draw us to a bad cultural perspective of how dependent we are on you. Let it draw us to grateful worship of a God who loves us just that much. I pray, Father, that today, as we talk about setting our mind on things above, that you would reveal to us throughout this things that have crept in that we have set our mind on earthly things, but we just need to reorient our thinking and set them on heavenly things instead. Please help us with that. Please be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, can I read you Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? I'm going to throw it up on the screen, but we're going to read this three times a day. So I'm going to read this over you now, and then the next two times I'd love to read it together. Is that okay with you? Again, you have to say yes, it's church. But I'm going to read this to you, and then we'll read it together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Have you ever heard the phrase by show of hands that you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? Have you ever heard that phrase? Like you're always in the, no, just a couple of you, really? Just you quoting scriptures on social, and all you talk about is prayer, but you're not doing action. Like you're so in the clouds with your faith. What about real life? If you haven't heard that phrase, perhaps you've heard the sentiment. Yes? Yeah, y'all got to talk back to me. Yeah. All right, so Pentecostal church, I need help. So it's funny though, because that's a phrase I'd always heard. Like, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I never heard anybody say the reverse. You're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. Which I think is equally true. If we're not careful, we can have our mind, our thought life attached to things of this world and how we process our problems, deal with people, see circumstances, deal with our political lives, our financial lives, our social lives, and we can be so in the earth of things that we separate it from the spiritual. The problem is, I don't think when we're talking about our spiritual lives, like our worship and our singing and our church attendance, I don't think that the Bible knows of a separate spiritual life that's separate from the rest of your life. We tend to put things in boxes and live in boxes, do we not? Like, we tend to, like, here's my worship stuff, here's my work stuff, here's my family stuff, here's my relationship. The thing I think the Bible talks about, I think the Bible says really clearly that everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. What you do here in this moment with the song you were just singing with Shelby is no different than how you're going to live on Tuesday with that coworker you don't like. Know what I mean? And so I think everything that you engage and do is spiritual. That's not to say you shouldn't think and process things in specific ways. I just don't think the Bible speaks of these things as being separate. In fact, I would argue that the Bible, when it speaks about the world that you can't see because of the temporary that we're in right now, the unseen, the realm with the angel, the stuff that you can't see, I think the Bible would argue is just as real or more real than the stuff you can see. So I think we do ourselves a disservice when we try to separate stuff into our spiritual lives when the Bible seems to say everything comes from the realm of the spirit. But I just want to talk about being holistically heavenly minded today. But even though we know that this stuff is important, like you're here for a reason, you're online for a reason, you know that worship and coming to a place and coming to a fellowship and studying it, you know it's important. Like, hopefully this isn't just mundane religious activity for you. And if it is, I pray that it turns into a part of life. As much as we know this is important, how many of you guys would acknowledge by the show of your hands that it's a struggle to live spiritually, intentionally? It's a struggle to live that way. Like, it's not, and I'm just using that language while I just went through that whole thing about not separating the two, just so we can compartmentalize in our conversation. Like, it's not, when you wake up in the morning, even if your rhythm is to read a Devo or something like that, like, it's not our automatic habit in a lot of instances in our life, or maybe all, depending on where you are, to run to what God says about a thing, to chase the thing that's healthiest for you in your spiritual walk. We are tempted with a flood of cultural items, things, and thought processes to take us anywhere but where Christ wants us to go. Would you agree? Like, that is a struggle. I don't care how young or old you are in here. I don't care how mature in the faith you are. The second you let your guard down here, if you think you're safe from this, you're not safe. You know what I mean? There's a cultural wave that's going there. So maybe you've been in the faith for a while, and it's the temptation to be complacent because you know all the stories, you know all the things, you know how to maneuver and check the boxes. Maybe you're on fire and your faith is healthy and vibrant, and praise God, keep going, we need to learn from you. But you struggle with certain areas of, like, well, I can't really share my faith with those people. Maybe you don't claim Christ. Maybe you're not even in Christ at all, and you don't even know what any of this means. Praise God you're here. I just think we have to be very intentional with that. I was in a writing session with a bunch of artists recently, and I don't think that most of them would claim Christ. And so we were in there hanging out, and they found out that my wife and I have been married for 17 years just in conversation. And one of them turned around like, oh man, I'm engaged. Is that me? Is that God saying, don't tell this story? Like, what was that? I'm going to tell it anyway in case it's not God. I came from Pentecostal church. That would be like a demon in the electronics trying to mess everything up. That's a demon. Stop it. Cast it out. But they found out we've been married. And it was like, oh, I'm engaged. So like, you got any tips? Like, help us out. And then the whole conversation shifted from music to that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, here we go. And I was like, look, I don't know a lot. But what I would say is, the temptation I've seen in myself and in other people who've gotten married is this, that once they get married, they stop the chase. That makes sense? Anybody been through that? Like, you stop the pursuit of the person because you're trying to win their heart over, and now they said yes, and you got it. I'm like, all right, I won. Like, what's next? You know what I'm saying? Like, we crossed the finish line, and my wife and I, we, you know, early in marriage, we're still dating, having a good time, but, you know, life and bills and kids and concerns and a tragedy or two, and sometimes, if you're not careful, you can just start to coast and manage life and not pursue and chase after the person you committed your life to. And it's very easy to do that. Would you agree? So if we agree that it's that way with our temporary and imperfect romantic relationships or friendships or even parenting, whatever, how much more is our intentionality in pursuing a perfect and holy God who traded everything to be in relationship with you, but you've got a flood of things internally and externally trying to distract you from him? How much more intentionally must we make it a priority to chase and pursue God? It must be at the top of our list, I think. But the real struggle here is while there's internal things that are pulling you away from God and external things and pressures that we all have, the real struggle is that we have an enemy who is actively motivated in distracting you in all things, particularly with the small things you don't even notice, right? Now, I think that that's something that we need to talk about because Jesus, you know, whether you believe Jesus is the Son of God, the author of Scripture and Lord in the flesh like I do, or you think you're in a place where you think he's just a good moral teacher, wherever you are, if you think he's a good moral teacher, you can't escape from the fact that Jesus talked about a very real enemy of our soul that he believed in called the Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He never avoided this fact. So either Jesus was right or wrong about this, but you got to deal with it. He didn't skip over this. He didn't treat it like an ancient mysticism, ancient mystical topic that those uncivilized people just trying to blame evil on. He talked about like this is a very real guy doing very real damage for a very real reason. He talked about him on a regular basis, and I think we should look at that. Paul talks about a little bit later about our spiritual enemies, and he writes this in Ephesians 6:12. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The person beside you that you don't like that much, our struggle is not against them, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. What in the world is Paul talking about? He seems to not be saying that this myths of angels and demons, he seems to say there's a very real battle going on that you can't see with your eyes, it doesn't make it any less real. Now, either the Bible's right or wrong about that, but it's there and you gotta deal with that. I think it's right, for just so you know. My grandmother is very much the reason for the way I am right now, in the faith and stuff like that. Like, I was raised in church, it was cool, I just didn't really care. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't rob, don't steal, check, got it. But Jesus wasn't Lord. You know what I mean? Anybody ever been there? Show of hands. Like, you were here, but Jesus wasn't Lord? All right, so if that's you right now, I just want you to see you're not alone. We hope you come to the Lord's side, though. So Grandma, I'd wake up in the morning, and Grandma would be just leaning over. She had this big old thick King James by all the thous and these, and I'm like, why? And so she would just be over that thing, and she would just be swooning, like just gone. And I'm like, I don't know what my grandma's doing. I'm hungry. I'm trying to sneak past and get some Cap'n Crunch. And she's over here doing something with Jesus, and I don't know what's going on. And my grandma would just be gone. And I was like, what is she doing? What is going on? And my grandma was one of those old church mothers, too. Anybody know about the old church mothers? He was raised in the church with the old church. I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about she ran the joint is what I'm trying to tell you. Like, she had her seat. She had her hat. And if you saw that hat, don't cross. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, keep when you pass there, keep it holy. She gonna call you out. Like, that's who she was, man. And she set a standard. And my grandmother set a standard for me of Christ as Lord. But she's a little extra with it. She's a little extra spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Like, almost every, it was charismatic church. Everything was a demon. You know what I'm saying? Everything was... The technology demon, right? Like everything was a demon. Like I said, take out the trash. I'm like, I don't feel like a grandma. Boy, you better get that demon of disobedience out of you. Yeah, like I just want to finish my game. Like, and so you started to kind of like some of the stuff. You'd be like, I don't know, man. That's just grandma being grandma. She's doing a little extra stuff. And she would always talk about this thing called strongholds. Strongholds. I was like, I don't know what she's talking about, but it's probably one of grandma's extra things. Fast forward life. I got involved with stuff I shouldn't have been involved in. Did some things Jesus probably wouldn't have wanted me to do. And I won't get into too much detail, but I got into a pornography addiction. I know for some people that feels like minuscule compared to like substance abuse, but it was very real, I think. And it had its hooks in me. And I came to Christ, and I got rid of a lot of stuff very easily. I wasn't a big drinker, so I was gone really quick. I wasn't a big smoker. I was actually kind of bad at it. Like all my friends were really good weed smokers. I sucked, so I had to stop. I wasn't good at it. Like I was really bad. And they laughed at me. I kept trying, but I'm like, this ain't for me. So, that was gone. But I had to come face to face with this thing that had its hooks in me. I need to stop. And every fiber of my being wanted to get rid of all of the materials that I had. Because this was a day when everything wasn't streaming. You actually had to like have a disc to look at stuff. It's an old day. We had to purchase like actual movies and music. It's in a museum somewhere. They're called CDs and DVDs. And I remember standing over the trash can trying to break this DVD because I just didn't want anybody else to pick it up. And when I went to do it, like just with all my religious fervor, I went to break it and I couldn't. And I'm not talking about couldn't as in I love this so much. I hated what was in my hand. And my hand started to shake the more I tried. And I said, what is this? And immediately, grandma's words came into my mind standing over that trash can. Strongholds. Strongholds. And I understood. Oh, man, just stop drinking, man. What's wrong with you? I understood. I'm sorry for judging you, bro. Strongholds. Why don't you just stop doing... Strongholds. I'm sorry for judging you. I understand. Listen, you cannot live spiritually without intentionality, without deep intentionality. And a culture that's constantly flooding you with do this, try that, those people, them, all, whatever your thing is. And once you conquer a thing, there's another thing coming to try to get its hooks in you. Amen, believers who've been here for a little while? There's always something that's going to try to throw you off course. Even if you're in the kingdom and you claim Christ as Lord, and if I'm correct about you not being able to lose your salvation and all that stuff, if Satan can't get you out the kingdom, he's going to make sure you're ineffective while you're here. He doesn't want you to impact your neighborhood or your workplace. He doesn't want you to live in freedom. Even if you're going to see the king when you die, at least he can hold you down with hooks while you're here so nobody wants the life you have. Because the Bible says make the preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ attractive. If I'm Satan, I'm going to make your life as unattractive as possible and put hooks into you, even if the king has his hands on you. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? Oh, I got to wrap this up. I did kick that addiction, by the way. I got to like let y'all know that before. Wait. I almost forgot that last service too. Let me wrap this story up so they know I'm not still tripping over here. Like that's, yeah, so, whew. Like, all right, good. Don't let that clip go viral, please. But look, man, if in a culture that's constantly moving away from the things of God, if you stand still, you will not stand still. There's a constant flood moving this way, and we got to kick it. Here's a couple things the Bible says about the Satan. It calls him the God of this world. The lowercase g, but the God of this world, the one who's in control of the cultural sway of things and the different things coming back and forth. It also calls him the prince and power of the air. As one who loves media and entertainment, I just always look at that as airwaves. Look, media, algorithm, music, messaging, movies, all those things, constant flooding. But the Bible actually goes on to say in the book of Timothy that there are actual doctrines of demons, like teachings being taught by demons to people to put out in the culture. That's crazy. They're not popping up with pitchforks and stabbing people. They're teaching stuff against the knowledge of God. Very interesting. Very interesting. Because I believe that what we're seeing here is that if nobody in here in their right, I mean, most of us, you know, Satan walking around with pitchfork and horns and stuff, nobody's going to bow down and worship. And he got some people who will. Some of us are weird. But like for most of us, we're not going to do that. But I believe that the enemy's goal is, if I can just get you to not worship him, I don't care what you spend your attention on. So he distracts us with social causes and good things and great desires from our family and finances and politics and fill in the blank with whatever the thing is, substances, whatever your thing is, or two or three things, whatever it is, filling you with things to say, I've got your attention over here. That's all I wanted. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2 reads like this. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the direction that this culture is going. Not as in the world, the created order in itself is bad. God said it is good. And then when he had a chance to snap his fingers and get rid of all us, he sent his son to redeem it, because you mattered that much to him on your worst day. I need you to hear that, because I struggled with my story. I know a lot of people that do. You need to hear this, that on your worst day, the Son of God thought you were worth hanging on a cross for 6 hours for, just to give you a chance to come back to life. He loves you that much. Your story matters. Yeah, clap for Jesus, please. So when it said, when you see the world in scripture, it's not talking about the created order. God loves that. It's talking about the culture that is rapidly running away from him, that's biting the fruit of the garden and going the other direction. So following the course of this world is what we used to do if you're in the kingdom of God, and what we still do sometimes when we get distracted, and what you're doing if you're not in the kingdom of God, and following the prince and the power of the air. Isn't it interesting? It ties following the culture's metric of all things as following Satan himself. Following the prince and power of the air. Look, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And my grandma was right, saying that demon. Let me just remember right. If I understand angels right, we don't have time for like a lot of angelology and demonology right now, but like if I understand this stuff correctly, angels are not omnipresent beings, like everywhere all the time. They're not like, that's God. That's reserved for God the Father, who can be on heaven and on earth at the same time. Right? That's not what angels and demons are. So Satan himself is a fallen angel. Like Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven, calls him an angel. So if he's an angel, fallen as he may be, that means he can't also be everywhere at the same time. That means when you think the devil made me do it, he probably didn't. He might not have been there. Seen the little cartoon with the angel and demon on the shoulder and one? Like he can't be in 7 billion places at once. He probably didn't make you do that. Right? Hello? However, I think this is very true. That if he's in charge of the cultural antics, and he's putting out doctrines of demons, teaching, and let's slip this into the music. Let's put this into the political climate over here for some corruption. Let's put this into the, let's ruin their democracy with a whole bunch of division. Let's slide in how they feel about those people and this, that, and the third. Let's do some self-esteem damage. Let's flood the algorithm on social media with these images so that anxiety and suicide rises in proportionate rates amongst middle schoolers for the past 10 years. If that's what he's in charge of, then maybe he did make you do it. Now, I'm not going to blame all of our stuff on, like, I'm not going to do that. Because I know very well Satan's in charge of the pornography industry. I know that. But I'm the one that picked it up and wanted it. So I can't blame him for that. There was the external pressure. There was an internal sin in a culture that said, hey, man, everything's okay. Like, live your truth. There's everything's free. Do what you want. There's no right and wrong. Why would you do that? Don't hold back. Do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Talk about them however you want to. They're ruining the country. Speak blasphemously against them, even though they're made in the image of God. And Jesus said, don't do that. Whatever your thing is, it's right there for you, because the prince and power of the air has made it available. And here's my overly spiritual statement. I believe very clearly any influence away from the things of God is satanic. I believe any influence away from the things of God is satanic. As I understand Satanism, the actual religion, it's not even, there's different branches, but that's not even about worshiping him. It's about worshiping self. If you read some of the quotes and stuff, it's crazy. Anyway, I think we stay in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan pops up, Adam and Eve, and says, hey, listen, are you sure God said not to do this? Well, yeah, of course he did. He said and quotes back what God said. No, that's not true. God is not being fair. He doesn't want you to live your truth. He doesn't want you to do what you want to do. Just try this and you won't need him anymore. Watch, see what, and that's the same. He doesn't have any new tricks. It's the same stuff we're dealing with today. Are you sure? Did God really say you can't? Insert whatever issue there you want. It's the same thing. And it's flooded at you. Million miles an hour. I've heard studies between 3,000 and 6,000 messages a day that you're getting on your death scroll, on your screen, about everything that is not lifting up the knowledge of God. I think we're being shaped every day, and what you give your attention and your time to is shaping you, and we got to be mindful of who's shaping that. So, how then do we live spiritually in such a world? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians some really interesting stuff. In the middle of this passage, it takes a pivot to a very interesting place. So he starts off high level with all this fighting and demon stuff. He says, for though we live in the world, again, the culture, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We don't do fire with fire. That doesn't work here. We're not yelling back. Like, we don't do that here. Like this, we had a different way of doing this stuff. On the contrary, the weapons we have the divine power to demolish strongholds. There's my grandmama again. Here it is. We demolish arguments. We demolish arguments and take every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments. Anything that sets itself up against God, and we take our thought life captive to Christ. It is interesting. He's talking about warfare and all this stuff and all this stuff in the heavenlies and da 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 da. And what do? We fix our mind. It's a really interesting. He doesn't come back with tit for tat spiritual tactics, which he could. There's nothing wrong with that. He says the first thing we do is we demolish arguments. One of my mentors, told me. TFA, he said, always keep in mind, TFA, thoughts, feelings, actions. Your thoughts becomes your feelings, and your feelings become your actions. What you put in eventually comes out. And a lot of us would say, oh man, I don't want to make an emotional decision. I'm here to tell you that you're an emotional being. You don't have a choice in that. Now, you may be more logical and you know what I'm saying, strategic in what you do and processing, and that's good. And some of us may be more quick and erratic to I feel like this and this is going to happen, and both of those things can be good depending on the circumstance. But I'm saying the way you feel and the way you think and how that shapes your feeling about a thing is going to come out in your action. I don't care how you wire it. Because God is emotional. He's not doesn't work by emotionalism. He has feelings. You have feelings. You're emotional. It is how it goes. But what do we do then? If your physical thoughts come in and they shape everything else, the very first thing we must do is set your mind on things above. And this is just where I want to land today. This is my main point. To set your mind on things above. In your thought life, what are you letting to flood your mind on a daily basis? Is it external stuff? Is there something in your playlist that's against the knowledge of God? Is there a movie or a show that you're engaging in and enjoying? I love entertainment. That's where I start. This pulling your process about life away from the thoughts of God. Not that there's just naturally stuff in there that's not for God. Like, it's going to happen. But when you watch it, it's starting to shape your mindset. Well, I wonder if that is okay. Well, maybe it's not. Is that not that big of a deal? Maybe this is. Maybe there are multiple ways. Like, whatever it is what are you listening to? What are you reading? What are your conversations? What's coming from your political side? That they're making good points over here, so I'm going to ignore the bad points they made and the way they treat these people over here, which God said don't do, but I'm going to accept that it's okay because we got to get them in office. Because whatever your excuse is, What's the flood of your thought life that's not above the culture and the ways of this world? It's not lining up with the way God said we're supposed to be, behave, think, say, and do. We have to constantly be on guard about that. Because anybody in this room, and I'm not saying walk on the eggshells and tiptoe and be extra legal. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take the extra step to process any thought that wants to get in through a biblical worldview and say, is this the way God would have me to think, respond, and move in this way? Is this conversation glorifying to him? Should I remove myself because this joke was said about whatever? I'm anything that's going on. When I'm talking to people, having conversations and stuff like that, I am internally like not checking out, but I'm while we're having a conversation, Lord, what's the response here? What do you want me to say? Is there a verse I'm not even supposed to bring up to them? Because if I bring up a verse, it's going to mess the whole thing up. But bring that to my mind so I know how to move. What do you want me to do here? How should I behave? Do I be silent? Like a constant, like, what is the filter through which you're processing how you think, move, and live? Because we can't just shut that. We can't turn that on in spiritual moments like this one. It's good for Tuesday when we're with the coworker we don't like. It's good for family dinners. It's good for everything. There must be a constant setting our mind on things above intentionally to make sure that when you're pressed with life, you know where to move. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Could we read this together? 3, 2, 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So if I could flip that phrase from the beginning, it would just be heavenly minded and you will be earthly good. You don't have to separate the two things. We don't fight like the world does. We don't fight like the world does. This beautiful moment, John the Baptist is doing his work by the river and he sees Jesus just in the background, just strolling around, and that's him. Right over there, the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world, the man whose sandals I'm not worthy enough to tie, that's him. And he comes over and John is ready to move out the way and Jesus says, you must baptize me. And no, I can't baptize you. You know who you are. I can't do that. I'm not worthy. He says, we must to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus gets baptized. John the Baptist's entire life was for this moment. And he baptizes the Lord of all creation. And the heavens open up, and the dove comes from heaven, the Spirit in the form of a dove, and you see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit in one place, and you hear the booming voice from heaven, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And everybody is in awe. And immediately, at Jesus' big announcement, he leaves and goes into the wilderness for 40 days by himself. He leaves him right there by the river. Crazy. Gone. Fasting. And it says, he had to go to the wilderness because he had to go. He must go to be tempted by the Satan. Why? Because the Son of God had to face Genesis 3 and win. Now, when he faced this temptation of, hey, did God really say? When he faced this, I like movies. You know what I'm saying? Like when I think of an epic battle between Satan and Jesus in the wilderness, like there's a whole lot of like Marvel DC stuff happening. Like there's all types of fireballs and uppercuts. And like, I just don't let me make a movie about Jesus. It's going to be really wrong, but really good. You know what I'm saying? So I see all this and I'm like, all right, cool. And Satan's popping up like, hey man, did God say, like, listen, like, I know you got to be hungry. Like, if you just turn this stone to bread and just feed yourself, there's no way your father be angry at that. It is written. He didn't fight back. He didn't get into this long, drawn out. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, look, just go. If you go up here to the highest point, and let me just tell you, just throw yourself off. Tell the angels to catch you, because it says he will give his angels charge concerning you. It's written, you shall not tempt the Lord. And Jesus just goes to the word. And every argument that the Satan tries to bring up to get Jesus distracted, It is written. He shuts him down. He had the cheat code. He already knew the answers. He cheated. You know what I mean? Listen, just bow down to me one time. You ain't got to worship me. Just bow down and I'm going to give you all the kingdoms. You ain't got to do the whole cross thing. Just one time. It is written. Satan fled. Man, if we went through the world with just, it is written, I can't. It is written, I won't. It is written, I will. It is written, I don't even like that it's written, but it's written, so I'm going to do what it says. You know what I mean? Man, if we could be a little bit more like Jesus in that way, I think we'd be okay, because he beat that test. He was able to go to the cross and be a perfect sacrifice for you and I who do not beat that test. We don't win there. That's why the king had to come save us. But now that we know, now we can, to the best of our ability, it is written. And you're going to screw up. You're going to mess up. There are going to be times when you get this wrong, when you misrepresent Jesus, when you slip back into something and you're running on the narrow path and you trip and scrape your knee. It's going to happen. Just take the pressure off of doing this perfect. Take the pressure off. The beautiful thing he's given you is right when he came back out of that wilderness, he said, hey, repent and believe. You stand up. Lord, I slipped. Lord, I'm sure I misrepresented you. Lord, I don't feel about myself today the way you feel about me. I don't think I'm worthy because of X, Y, and Z. And the king would just say, it's written. And that's what we get to do. Everything's fixed right there. So I'm going to wrap up. But look, what I want to encourage you is a couple things. Put guardrails around your mind, around what your mind consumes and believes. Put guardrails around what your mind consumes and believes. The reason why I'm saying that is because, again, constantly flooded with all types of thoughts, actions, deeds. And you may know what right and wrong is in a certain situation. But if you allow yourself a flood of cultural opinions versus a flood of the Word of God, you are not as safe as you think you are from your mind slipping in a certain way. I know you know the answer. I know it. Some of you guys on the Word better than me. I get it. I'm just saying, if you keep pummeling your mind with things that are contrary to the Word of God, I don't care if it's about yourself, I don't care if it's about those people, whoever those people is to you, I don't care if it's about politics, I don't care if it's about social issues, and if you just allow yourself to be pummeled with antichrist thoughts, I don't care if they come from the left, the right, your favorite channel, if you just do that. Listen, man, I got my thoughts on all types of political stuff, and I'm going to keep doing this. Like, I know you don't talk about politics in church. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Like, the reason why, the way this stuff is voiced, the way we talk about each other in the kingdom of God, because the culture tells us to, the way we speak against our political enemies and presidents we don't like, the way we tear people down that Jesus died to save, is mind-blowing to me. But I get it. I do the same thing in other places. It's just politics ain't my, it's not my hook. I just shudder at that. I'm challenging you guys, as passionate, please be passionate. Do the conviction. Folk, do your thing. Please. But just don't do it like the world does. My hook is media and music and entertainment. So I gotta put guardrails up. I listen to and watch a lot of stuff, so I know what's out there, I know what's coming, because I believe doctrines of demons are being preached through the music and the movies, and that's the field that I care a lot about. So I'm always listening. What is the argument being thrown out? What's the pretension trying to set itself up against the Word of God? What is going on? So I can know how to respond, and when I produce stuff, when I'm speaking to, et cetera, et cetera. But the guardrails I put up, for me, is because of the hook that I told you about early on in life. I refuse to listen to and watch certain things. That's not my fight. I'm not in that. I can't watch this. I've gotten up and walked out of movies when they slip in an unnecessary sex scene, because I'm like, it never helps the story. Just say it happened. You ain't got to show it. Like, you did that because, you know, people are lustful. It's to keep your money. I've gotten up and walked out because I don't want to see it. Does that make sense? Yes. Watch what your mind consumes and believes. And when you find yourself slipping away in another thought process, before you get there, come here. But if you're already there on something, come, hey, Pastor Dan, I need to know, what does God say about? Here's a thought process we really need to get out of church. We really got to get this out of church. It's don't talk about that here. You know what I mean? Like, don't bring that here. That's messy. That's divisive. Like, look, this is a safe space. We don't talk about that here. We don't bring that here. I'm just going to make this point really quick. I think that if there's any place you're supposed to be able to bring anything, It should be at the foot of the cross where Jesus died to deal with it on your behalf. This is the place we should be able to bring everything. I know you're ashamed. I know you're embarrassed. I know you shouldn't think about those people in that way. But listen, if you can't bring it to the body of Christ in trusted community, I'm not saying get on stage and flash all your business. I'm not talking about that. But if you got like a couple of, you got a few people that you really, really trust, and you got pastors here who are on staff and ministers here, this is the place to say, listen, I know I should feel it, but I feel this way. Am I wrong? Like, I've struggled through this. You know what I went through? You know what happened to me? Do you know what I did? Do you know how I feel? Am I seeing this right? What's the Bible say? This is the place where you're not supposed to hide things from God. This is the one place you're supposed to bring everything to God. Because the devil loves your isolated struggles. Because there's no power there. You're by yourself. That's the place to bring up things to God and to his people. So watch what your mind consumes. Secondly, put guardrails around what you say and do. Jesus talked about this a lot. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Something flies out. Oh, where'd that come from? I have no idea. Oh, it was already there. That's where it came from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? When he's reframing the dietary laws, which were a beautiful and good thing. The law is beautiful. But he's come to fulfill the law. And he says, listen, it's no longer about what goes into you. That has nothing to do with it. What comes out defiles you. What you say and do defiles you. You know a tree by its fruit. You see some fruit? That's probably what the tree is. James, how can fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? Whenever you are squeezed, whatever's in you, good or bad, is what comes out. And this isn't a judgment thing. Listen, don't hear perfectionism. Don't hear morality. Don't hear, let me check all these boxes of things I know I need to fix so God will love me more. You can't get better than stretched out on the cross for you when he already knew what you were going to think, say, and do. His love for you exceeds. No, there's nothing you can do there to earn more of that. This is in response to how much you love me. I want to love you back by my thoughts and actions to be honoring to you, to show you that I love what you've done for me and I want to be more like you. And I'm going to stumble, I'm going to fall, you're perfect, I'm not, thank you for your grace, but I'm going to point it out, Lord, and I want to take this to you and I want to get a little better here for the glory of your name. And you take small, slow, incremental steps. That's what the prayer is. The prayer for me today, for you and for me, is Lord, what is the next thing? Not the cacophony of things I need to fix to be a perfect person. And you can make a list of 20 things you need to get better at, and patience, and this, that, and that. But no, God, what is the next thing you have for me that I need to get? Did you want to progress me in? That you knew I was dealing with, and you died for me anyway, anyhow, on my worst day, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. You knew this already. But what is the thing that, because you receive and accept me so much, that I can bring to you and say, Lord, this is not where it needs to be. And I just want to get a little further along in addressing this. Will you help me? Will you surround me with the right people? Will you put me in the right places? Will you remove the lies I believe and replace it with the truth of your word? Will you give me better habits of consuming your words? I start to push this other stuff out. And every 90 days when my brain cells reset, I start to carve more neural pathways. So I run to you instead of running to this stuff because the biology lines up with the scriptures. What would you have for me to do? Those are the things that I'm praying that we lay before the Lord. And not try to fix. I'm a fix everything at one time or nothing at all type person. And what the Lord's been teaching me is, hey, you know, just, I said walk with me, not run with me. Just take a step. Just take a step. Lastly, put guardrails around your behavior to remain on the narrow road of Christ. And I think I've already said that a bunch of times, so I won't spend any more time there. It's easy for us to slip into thought processes that you didn't think you'd be a part of. And they're not the major things you think about. It's always the small, minute, cultural stuff that threatens to creep in, you know? And we've all got our things. But I'm just here to tell you, Jesus ain't afraid of none of them. So just bring them to him. Don't tuck it away and say, I'm gonna get this together. I shouldn't still be here after 15 years. Just bring it to him. Bring it to him. Because I believe all the pros and cons, all the things we do for God and for each other and for ourselves, I believe everything is spiritual. I think the Bible's really clear on that. I believe all of that is super important. So my case for us today is that instead of dealing with life from an earthly perspective, from a cultural perspective, that we would set our mind on things above. Would you read Colossians 3 one more time with me? And then we'll pray and wrap up. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? All right, 3, 2, 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Church, set your mind on things above and not on these earthly things. Let's pray. I thank you, God, for this moment to be together. And I thank you, Lord, that your patience with us knows no bounds, that you're not in heaven wagging your finger at the imperfections of our life, but you're nearby. You are the omnipresent one. You are the one who's close by. And by your spirit, wrapping your arms around us right where we are, arms wide open, saying, I know it all, and I still gave everything for you. Lord, let us believe that. God, that is, because we don't know any other love like that, that's perfect. We struggle to believe that and live that out, even in ways we don't understand, we struggle to live that out. But I pray that you would give us the wisdom to enjoy what you've done. Our greatest joy comes from knowing you. You said that not a place, but knowing you is eternal life. God, let us enjoy the life you've given us for the rest of this phase of life and the life to come, that we would just enjoy who you are. And we can only do that by setting our mind on things above where you are. Help us not to be consumed with the ways of this world, and how we live and process and treat each other. Help us, Lord, to just be like you when it makes sense and feels good, and when it doesn't. Let us know your way is better than ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Thanks for having me.